time walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and they worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Hallelujah. Father God, we pray that you'd open up these words to us today, that we might not only understand the story that happened so long ago, a true story, a story of a man walking on water, a story of a man who met the living God in the midst of a storm, but also a story which is alive today, which encourages us in the midst of our storms to walk on water, to do things that seem impossible, to do things that bring us closer to the living God. And we thank you that this morning you will encourage the saints, both here in the church and those that are watching by television, that you would encourage them in their storms and in their lives not to be afraid. In Jesus' holy name we ask these things, and all the people said, Amen. I want you to know that there's no fear in the storm. There's no fear in the storm. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Jesus was ministering. He had fed thousands of men and women with a handful of loaves and fish. And after that, he told the disciples that he wanted them to get in a boat and go to the other side and he'd meet them there. He wanted them to go first. But as it was, when he went back and dismissed the crowd, separated himself from this world, he went up into a mountain to pray. He was all alone. He was separated unto God. And then in the deep of the night, Jesus came down and began to walk across the stormy sea. And the boat was by now in the middle of the sea. It should have been there long ago. But for some reason, this boat was slow because of the storms. How many know that storms can slow you down? Sometimes, you know, you're intending to go to a place and get there right away, but then storms begin to come against you and slow you down. And all that you intended to do for the Lord, all that you intended to accomplish in your life, suddenly becomes difficult, if not impossible. It looks like you're never going to go anywhere. How many have been in that kind of situation? You know, you intended to do something for God. He said, "I want you to go there first." And it seems like you never quite get there. You get in the middle and things go against you. Well, Jesus came and he started walking and he knew where the disciples were. The Lord had told him. He came upon the boat and he was some feet away, enough to be able to shout to him. And Jesus said, you know, when he saw him, he was going to speak to him, and right away they cried out and they said, you know, "It's a ghost. That's not real. That person out there, who is that?" And they were already fighting against the storm and so on. They really didn't have time to add another problem to their lives. But here was Jesus, and they didn't know it wasn't a problem. And so they became even more frightened because they saw Jesus. How many know that sometimes Jesus shows up in the most unusual places, in the most unusual situations, in the most unusual guises? Sometimes, you know, you expect Jesus to come in a certain way, but he comes in another way. Have you noticed that God doesn't always appear to you in the way you expect him? Sometimes he comes in a way that looks just the opposite of what you expected. And so they thought this was a ghost. They thought this was something bad, and they were afraid. And immediately, whenever a Christian becomes afraid, you can know that the Lord God is right there saying to you, "Don't be afraid. It's I. There's nothing to fear." God does not want you to live in fear. Can you say amen? God does not want his people for 1 minute to live in fear. And yet all of his people do. His people are surrounded by fears because they're looking at the circumstances of their lives. They're not looking at the Word of God. They're not noticing that God has said, it's finished. They're not noticing that God has said, because of the blood, I forgive you. They're not noticing that the Lord Jesus has said, I will guide you. I will never leave you or forsake you. They're not looking at the Word. They're not listening to the voice of the Lord, but they're looking at not only their circumstances, but their abilities, at their capacities. And they're saying, I don't think I can make it here. I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. And I believe in God, and I speak in tongues, and I read my Bible every day, but I don't know if I can make it here. I'd rather go back. I think I want to quit. I wish I had never gotten out in this boat in the first place. And Jesus comes along in those moments, and he says to his people, don't be afraid. It's I. Fear not. Be of good cheer. And as a matter of fact, that word, be of good cheer, means be the most excited you could possibly be. Because in the midst of your storms, that's where Jesus reveals himself in the most miraculous way. It's not out of the storm, it's not in the calm, it's not on the land. After all, they'd seen Jesus feed the 5,000. But they didn't recognize he was the Son of God. Even though he had done many miracles, they still weren't certain. They still weren't convinced. But in the midst of the storm, when there's no ground beneath you, when there's no security around you, when you can't turn to your pastor, you can't turn to your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your children, someone, you can't turn to security, your money, your health. In the midst of a storm, that's when you realize you've either got a God or you don't. That's when you realize there's nothing holding me up. That's when you realize that life is not as solid as it looked yesterday, just hours before. Suddenly, in the midst of the storm, you're going to find out whether you have a God or not, and he's going to be a real God, or just a traditional kind of church-going God who's there on Sunday mornings to appease. I tell you, we serve a living God. Amen. And he shows up in the most extraordinary places. He does not reveal himself at all times and in all places. He's there, but he doesn't show you himself. But in the midst of the storm, that's where Jesus shows up. In the midst of the storm, when you don't expect anything to happen and when you're just frightened, you can imagine they were probably clinging to one another, clinging to the side of that boat, hanging on to the mast, somehow crying out and saying, you know, why did we do what Jesus said? How many know that sometimes when you do what Jesus said, it works? And then sometimes when you do what Jesus says, it doesn't work. Have you discovered that? There's both. Sometimes you're walking on water and sometimes you're sinking. Have you discovered that? That's the normal Christian life. Hello. The normal Christian life is not walking on water. The normal Christian life is not sinking. The normal Christian life is both. What do you think? Isn't that exciting? In other words, you're not going to be proud to say, I always walk on water, you know. Nor ought you to be desperate to say, you know, I'm always sinking. You know, I'm always under the circumstances of life. God intends you to walk on top of the circumstances. And when you sink, when you go down, when that happens, there's no problem. You just forget following the Lord at that moment and cry out to the Savior. You forget the pride of, oh, I was walking on water. You know, you forget all that good stuff about being a great Christian. You suddenly go, help! Hello. You lose your pride. You lose your reputation. You lose the fact that everyone notices that you've been praying every morning, or you've been doing this or doing that for God. You've been ministering unto the Lord. You have let your life, year after year, serve the Lord. You get proud of that. And there comes a moment, if you follow the Lord, when you're going to be sinking, you're going to say, help! Jesus, help! Unless you're too proud. I can't understand why I'm not walking on water. You know, some people keep their theology all the way down. I tell you, when I get in trouble, I don't care about my theology. I don't care what I just preached on 5 minutes before. I say, oh, help! Help! You know, I don't care about my reputation. Aren't you the pastor that said? Yeah, I was the one. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm just going to cry out to God and say, help! Save me! And after I get back up again, then I'll get my theology in shape again. Now, one thing I like about Peter was not a theologian. The theologians were all in the boat, kind of checking that thing over. I think we better stay right here, you know? And I wouldn't have been like Peter. When Jesus came and he said, it's I, you know, don't be afraid, be of good cheer, Peter immediately took him seriously and he went, hey, hallelujah. And now wait a minute. Now, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out on the water. I think it's you. I wouldn't have believed it was him. I would have thought, it's still a ghost. You know, my theology would have told me, you don't walk on water. You know, the molecules just don't hold you up. My theology would have been very much tied to this world's thinking. But Peter was bold, and so he began to say, Lord, if that's you, I want to come out. So he just, you know, Jesus said, yeah, come on. So he just hopped over the boat, and this is one of those, this was not just a little rowboat. It's one of those tall boats. And he jumped on down, and he started walking on the water. And you can imagine, I don't think he hesitated a lot. I think Peter being Peter, he was just one of kind of those zealous type Christians. And he just started walking right out. You know, and he just started walking right onto Jesus. And I believe that he was so in love with Jesus and so fascinated by the Lord and so caught up by Jesus that he didn't really pay attention to how neat it was, but I think he really was believing for a moment. And then I believe that after, you know, a half a dozen or a dozen steps, I believe Peter began to notice, my gosh, everyone is watching me here, and these storms and these winds, you know, I guess I haven't really paid attention to them. Do you realize what I'm doing? And I think he became proud to think, I am walking through these storms, you know. Golly, get a picture of this, you know. I think he would have wished, you know, when we were with Samora Michelle the other day, we had bought a camera, but we had never used it. And so we had just gotten it, and it wasn't time to do it. And so we were there with the president, you know, and shaking his hand, and Chris was taking all these pictures. We were with the president, you know, and when we got all done, come on, go get those so we could show everybody that we actually met the man. And then none of the film worked, and the camera didn't work, and the batteries went backwards, and, you know, the whole thing was lost, you know. For all eternity, you know, the great moment, you know, being able to meet the guy. But I tell you, God records everything. But, you know, I wanted to have my picture taken with the president, you know. And it didn't happen. That's pride. That's pride. I could tell you, well, I didn't have any pride, you know, it meant nothing to me. But it did. You know, I wanted that picture taken, you know. But in the end, you know, when I began to sink, I just said, help, Jesus, forget it, you know. Forget the pictures. Well, as Peter walked out, and here's the amazing thing. Listen to this. He got out on the water. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And I'm sure in that moment, Peter went, I don't know, but I didn't. Just, you know, hang on, you know. In that moment, he wasn't interested in the rebuke. He was only interested in being saved. He didn't really care about knowing Jesus. All he wanted to know was, hang on to me, Savior. Hang on to me. He did not want to walk on water in that moment. He just simply wanted to be saved. How many know that sometimes you want to minister for the Lord and you're able to operate in power, and other times you don't care about that. All you want to do is be saved, rescued, delivered, set free. You don't care about the healer. You just want the healing. Hello? Hello? You know, you're not interested any longer in being a big minister. You just want to get out of the thing you're into. Somehow it's, you know, messing you up. And you don't really care. Somebody say, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to get to know Jesus. You know, you don't want to know Jesus. And you just want to be saved. Get out of that thing. Now, of course, you're knowing him in that moment because he is a Savior. But you see, when he's a Savior, you're a saved. That is, you're in need. And that need is overwhelming. But Peter reached out. Now, watch this. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. How did Peter come to the ship? You think Jesus dragged him along in the half-sunk water? You know? Come on, Peter, we're going back to the boat, you know? How did Peter get back to the ship? I believe he walked on water again. I believe he saved him, picked him up, and he started walking back. And I believe the theologians in the boat, you know, noticed this, you know, and they began to change their bylaws. They began to, you know, to adopt a new method. And when Jesus got in the boat, it said that they came and worshipped him and said, now we know of a truth. Now we're convinced, we're positive, we theologians, that thou art the Son of God. Do you know what? Their theology was absolutely correct. But one big mistake. They hadn't experienced it for themselves. Peter was not a theologian who sat back and discussed, you know, how well, you know, the saints operate in storms. Peter actually got out there, walked on water, fell apart, got back up again, walked on water and came back, I tell you, he knew the Lord. That's how to come to know God, by experience. It's not faith, it's doing. It's not faith without works, it's faith with works. Peter got out of the boat and he said, I'm going to try this theology out. I'm going to go to Africa. If I say that's where God is working, I'm going to go there and find out if God is working there. I'm not just going to think about it and say, well, I believe that God is doing a work among the Hamites today. Because I do believe that, God says, well, fine, I'll go over and find out. Some people think it's because I like Africa. I don't like Africa. I like here. Hello. Let me just tell you the truth. David, he lives in Nigeria. I don't want to go to Nigeria. I don't want to go to Mozambique. I don't want to even go to South Africa. I don't want to go anywhere. I like it right here. People think, well, you want to go there and get all the glory. You know, I don't. I don't like it. I like right here. Let Robert go. That's his thing, you know. Nonetheless, since I read in the Scripture that God was going to do a work among the Hamites, I want to be there to meet the living God. Now, I'm not saying he's not here. I'm just saying, since that's one of the present truths, even though Jesus was also in the boat, he was out on the water, I want to be out on the water where the action is. Because I believe that. Because I believe that God speaks to me, and I believe it's important for me then to do what I believe. And so I stepped out in the boat and said, I'm going. I don't know how to speak Shamgon or Zulu or anything else, but I'm going to go. I don't even speak Portuguese. I can't even speak to the president there. I don't know how to talk his language. But I can talk the language of Jesus. You know, the only way I got to see the president was I told him I was an emissary from the governor. I said, Mark White, the honorable governor of Texas, has made me his emissary, which he had. And so I said, you know, I want to come in. But I used to say it this way. I didn't say that. I didn't say all those words. I would just say, the governor has made me his emissary and has sent me. Now, I didn't mean Mark White. I meant the governor. You know, and they would say, you can't get in because your name is not written down here. I would say, I'm sure my name is written down there because I'm an emissary from the governor. Now, it wasn't actually written down there, but I was sure it was, and I told them it was, and it worked. The amazing thing is, well, you know, I guess if you're an emissary from the governor, even if your name isn't written here, I guess let's check into that. Let's call the State Department and see. You know, and the State Department said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, the governor of the state of Texas, oh, well, you know, that still won't do it. I said, well, the governor has made me his emissary. Now, I was talking about another governor. And in that moment, a man walked in the room, a man from Mozambique. And he said, the president will see him now. And the State Department, the Secret Service, and all the people that were around said, well, he can't because the president has to be gone and we have his schedule. And the man said, the president will see him now. That was amazing. You see, they all tried to stop me and say, you couldn't go. And I said, come on, we're going to go see the president. Now, that's because Jesus, who is the governor of this world, is in the midst of storms, and he never takes no for an answer. Hello. He had said, you're going to see him, so we saw him. And I thank God that he keeps his word. Let's look back at Psalm. This is an incredible Psalm. This Psalm, 37, verse 23 and 24, says this, the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the governor, the Lord. And he, that is the king, the Lord, the governor, delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Peter was walking on the water, but he was walking in the way of the Lord. He was delighting in the way of God. And God was delighting in the way of Peter. They were delighting in each other. Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And he just came right out and he met the Lord. And because it said, though he fall, because every step of the righteous man is ordered of the Lord, it did not walk on water, it walked on the Word. How many know you can't walk on water, but you can walk on the Word? You can count on the Word. Peter was not walking on water. He was walking on the Word of God, which said, come. Come unto me. Come and meet me. Separate yourself from the security of your tradition. Separate from your friends. Separate from this world. Come unto me in the midst of the storm. Don't wait for the storm to stop. Just come unto me now. Come unto me in the midst of the storm, and I will meet you there. And he did. And as he went out there, when he fell, because you do fall. I tell you, whenever you follow the Lord, you're going to have falls. Jesus had falls. Everybody has falls. But when you have the falls, Jesus is right there, and it says, the Lord will lift him up. Though he fall, yet he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will save him by his own hand. And by the very hand of God, this Psalm 37, verse 24, was fulfilled. You see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and has risen again, is now meeting us. He's been separated on a mountain apart. He sent the multitudes away. He departed from this world. And he said, go before me. But we couldn't. We got stuck along the way. We never did get the thing done. And Jesus then comes to us and says, you know, what are you doing? You know, and here we are, frightened. We're probably not even rowing any longer. Just tossed by the storms of life. Now, I know most of us would like to believe, and it's an illusion, that storms will cease. All of us believe that if we pray hard enough and serve the Lord long enough, that the storms of life will cease. That's one of the reasons we come to Jesus, so the storms will go away. But I'm going to tell you right now, the storms do not cease in this life. The storms get stronger. You do not come to Jesus and the storms cease. There is a ceasing, but it's momentary. And then there's a new storm. There is a time when it ceases, but there's a new storm. And I tell you, out there in the world is storm after storm after storm, and the biggest ones haven't come yet. We haven't even yet faced the witches of this world. We haven't yet faced all of the human organizations of this world, the nations of this world, and all the philosophies and isms of this world. We've tinkered around. But the time is going to come when we're going to face the biggest demons, the biggest devils. I tell you, I'm excited about that. Now, if you get troubled in the little storms right now, you've got to learn how to seek Jesus in that storm. You've got to not worry about walking on water or sinking. You've got to learn to know Jesus. Now, see, sometimes when we get down, the only thing we want is to get up. But I tell you, there's something greater. That's to know the Lord. And if you learn now how to know Him, you'll walk on water. And when you sink, you'll fall, but you'll get back up again. And you'll keep knowing Him. You're going to learn to know Jesus in the storms of life. Don't pray that I hope our church someday will have no problems. Hello. If it's a true church, it will. If it's a false church, it might have an illusion of peace. Totally an illusion. There are many churches that are doing fine, but it's totally an illusion. That's because someone is not really following the Lord. When you're really following the Lord, you're going to have trouble all the time. Hello. Hello. So let's get used to it. Now, let's not say, boy, I hope we get over these initial growing pain stages. That's what little kids think too, you know. I get bigger, I'll run my own life. Peter was told by Jesus, you know, when you get old, you won't go where you want to go. You know, someone else is going to carry you. It's not going to be like you think it is. Well, when I get big, Well, when we get big, we're just going to have more problems. Hello. The issue is, come to know Jesus. The issue is, we'll be able to walk on water. We'll be able to sink and cry out to Jesus, but we're going to come to know Jesus. Because the real issue of life is not having power or ministering unto God. And the real issue of life is not being able to know that you have a Savior who will rescue you. The real issue of life is to know the Lord in all times and in all places. That He's not only Lord who can cause you to walk, but He's Savior that will save you, but He's Beloved that has come to make Himself known to you. Now, this is the real secret, isn't it? The real secret is that in the midst of the storm, you can come to know Jesus. Anyone can have a God who's good if the sun is shining. It's easy to say, you know, well, ever since I met Jesus, everything's going my way. That's why I love Him. It's easy to say that. But you're not going to be on the edge. You're not going to be on the forefront. You're not going to be where the action is, because the church for 2,000 years has been trying to avoid the storms. And that's why it isn't done yet. That's why we're out in the midst of the sea, still haven't finished yet with the task. Because it's going to take warriors. It's going to take people who are not afraid. It's going to take people who can roll up their sleeves and step over the edge of the boat and go. And who are not afraid of the storms of life and say, you know, when I get in a storm, I just want to be saved. That's all I want. Just get me out of this. I'm sick. I want to be healed. You know? Or, you know, insisting upon walking on water all the time. Another thing is, you don't walk on water unless the storms are there. You don't walk on water when it's calm. You walk on water when the storms are the fiercest. I tell you, that's when you're going to meet Jesus. That's what, you don't even notice. Peter was not noticing when he first got out. I think he had his eyes fastened onto Jesus. I believe that he was so in love with Jesus, it's his friend, Jesus. He said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. He was excited. It said, be of good cheer. Peter was. I believe Peter was excited. In that moment, he didn't care about the storms or the seas or anything else, and he went out to Jesus. That's us. We can apply that to ourselves. I tell you, as a church, as a pastor, we are calling you, Guy, Robert, and I are calling you to go radically. That is, to step out of the safe security of the boat. You know. Amen. And don't hang on. Amen. You know, how people do. Just jump out and start walking on the water. You say, well, we've never been here before. We don't know what it's like. We, you know, how will it work? What, blah, 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 blah. Don't worry about it. Just step out. Let's do it. Well, that's irresponsible. I'll tell you, God never calls a man to be irresponsible, but he is the one that wants to dictate what faith means. Faith is to follow the Word, not to be responsible in some human sense. You can play it safe in the boat, and you can call that responsible. Well, at least I didn't fall in the water like Peter did. But then you didn't walk on the water either, and you didn't meet Jesus either by experience. It's all theology. It's all mental. It's all in the head. It's all very safe and secure while the storms are about you and you're feeling, you know, like you're safe. But the power of God is not in the multitude who cling to the mast. The power of God is to get out on that water and do what Jesus said. It's time to stop preaching and teaching, and it's time to start doing the Word of God. The simple things that God has said to do. But every one of them is going to demand that you jump out and step and start walking on the water. And the amazing thing is we'll make it. The amazing thing is not only will we be able to walk on water, sink and cry out to Him and meet the living God, but we'll also come to know Him as our beloved. That's where Jesus wants to be found today. I don't want to go to Africa, truthfully. I don't like to leave my own little home. I love it right here. I do not like it. But because God said, come, I'm going to do it. Because I would rather be where God says, come, than to be here if He says to do it. I'm enjoying watching this thing, and I don't want to leave it. I don't want to leave right now. You know, the house churches are beginning, and we had good reports from all that. You know, I want to see that work, and I want to work with that. In fact, that's my vision, my call, my cry. Robert has that other thing. I don't know anything about that. I don't hear anything when I'm out there. I'm out there on the water with no security. I don't know. You know, I don't hear anything about that. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. That's why I keep calling back. Robert, what's happening? You know, do something. I'm in your land now. Cry out to God, you know, because I don't have anything out there. I'm just, you know, I don't do it right when I'm there. I don't know what's going on. You say, well, Pastor, you ought to know more. But I don't. All I know is He said, do it. If that's you, Lord, I'll do it. You know, and just start walking out. And the amazing thing is that it all happens, but I can't give a testimony why. All I can say is that it did. I can't say, well, I had great faith. I knew this. You know, and I got up at 5 in the morning and I was praying and then the Lord showed me. You know, that's what I want to say, but I can't say that. You know, all I can say is I was tired and I was sleeping and then the thing happened anyway. Glory to God. Hello. It's a bit humbling. But nonetheless, it's the truth. And everything we're going to learn by experience, or it's not really ours. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. We're not talking about being saved. One can be in the boat and be saved. I'm sure of it. I'm sure the mercy of God includes those that stay in the boat, just as He includes those 22,000 that ran away from the battle who were afraid for Gideon and every other story. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being on the edge and doing what God told you to do. We're not saying, what can you get away with? I think you can get away with clinging to the boat. I think you can still get in. I don't want to do that. Why? I don't know why. I've met God. I've fallen in love with Him. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I don't want to have my life safe. I want my life to count for the Lord. Just because I love Him. He's done so much for me. I want to do it. I don't want to just be safe. I don't want to say, you know, after all those years, I hid my talent in a napkin and here it is. I don't know. That the fear of God says to me, you can't do that. And I don't want to. I mean, it's not like God's making me go. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. But I don't always know what I'm doing. As a matter of fact, I never know what I'm doing. To be quite honest. I'm always stepping out into an area where it's beyond me. But that means you better have faith. You better have faith in the living God. Did God say, come? Yeah, I think so. I'm sure. I don't know. God. And you go back and you wrestle. Day after day until you finally say, that's it. I know I'm to go. I know that's the Lord. I know He's saying, come. I'm going to do it. But you see, the psychological doubts remain, don't they? Someone says, well, have faith without doubt. But that is talking about your heart, not your mind. How many know that the minute you have faith, you have doubt in your mind? And so it says, I never doubted for a moment. Oh, yes, you do. Especially if He's asked you to do something like get out of the boat and walk. You're going to, be doubting a lot. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord and keep saying, Lord, I know You told me to do this. Lord, I know this is You. Lord, I love You. And you see, it makes you pray a lot. It makes you seek God a lot. You don't have time to think about writing a book about walking on water. You're just glad you're going, and you're just looking at Jesus. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for a people that are not afraid. A people that are not afraid in the storms. There's no fear in the storm. Your lives are full of problems. Some of you are experiencing a lull right now. Things are going all right. But you anticipate that maybe, the problems could arise. Or if you stay tied to this bunch, you know they will arise. And you're right. And not only that, but we eagerly, go for the storms. Because we believe that in those storms that God has saying these words, don't be afraid. Be at peace. That there is no such thing as a storm in this world that's so big that a believer can't go through it. Now, I'm not saying we should just hunt out storms to find them. But I am saying that when God calls us, we don't shy back because it's a storm. There's a lot of things where people say, look, to avoid that, go to the opposite extreme so that no one even doubts it. But God's way is always very narrow. It's neither left nor right. You can't say, well, to avoid people misunderstanding me, I'm going to do this. I've done that many times. Just to avoid being misunderstood, for example, on tithing, for 15 years of my ministry, I never preached a message on it. Then I wasn't misunderstood. No one could ever say, he is looking for money. You could never say that. They would always say the opposite. I wish he'd look for some money. Hello. That's what people would say. Why don't you preach on tithing? I said, God will take care of us. But I overdid it. Not because it wasn't right, but because I overdid it. I wanted to make so clear that no one ever accused me of preaching and saying, you could only do this because you were using gimmicks and tricks. So I said, I'll never do that. It was just a human kind of thing. Maybe it was God, maybe it was me, but I know at least it was me. Hello. So no one could ever, But the point is, God sooner or later, says, look, I don't want that kind of thing. I want you to do what I say. And if I want you to preach on that, I'll have you preach on it. Okay. So, I'm now freer to do a lot of things that I wasn't before because I was trying to protect, the old religious, all the accusations that people make about religion and so on. Say, we didn't do that. I didn't do that. I'm proud of myself. I've walked on water, And then all of a sudden, you end up in the drink. You end up needing to cry out to God and say, help God, I'll even do the wrong thing. I've been tempted to do that many times. I said, Lord, I said I'd never do it, but right now I want to do it. I want to do the wrong thing. I want to get in the flesh. I've always criticized all those ministers for being in the flesh all these years. And look at, they're flourishing. I want to get in the flesh. Now, I've been tempted, lots of times to want to do that. I go back to Jesus. I say, Jesus, I just can't do it, but I want to do it. Because you're not coming through and I don't have the right something or other. And help me. Help me. I don't know what went wrong, but I don't even know if anything's wrong. But I don't like sinking all the time. just barely get your head above, And have you ever been there? Now you get there when you jump out of the boat. You get into those situations. I have no pride because when you are following God, you're wiped out from time to time. Can anyone stand up and say, I've never been wiped out, No, you get wiped out. Your theology notwithstanding about, I believe more firmly than anybody in the world that God always leads me in triumph. But I'll tell you, that's a faith statement. Because at times I am down in the bottom trying to figure out where is the triumph here. But I believe in the triumph. I'm just not sure where it is. But I believe totally that God has never abandoned me. I've never had a moment's internal lack of peace. Internally, I have kept my peace without question. That I can testify truly, with all honesty. Outside, as I've tried to figure out what's going on, I've many times been caught by my desire to figure out what's going on. Have you ever tried to do that? gee, look at these storms here. You know, I wonder how we're going to make it. And weekly, daily, hourly, we're in such a situation. But I like it. I believe that's what God wants. I believe He doesn't want us to hide our talents and treasures and time in a napkin and put it in the ground. I believe that God wants us to put our light on a lamp and shine. And if it falls down once in a while, He'll pick it up again. I don't believe you can look good while trying to be a Christian. I believe you can only do one thing. Fall in love with Jesus and then let Him take the consequences. Let Him protect your reputation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You can't look good. If you want to protect your, you know, if you could stay in the boat. Then you'll be consistent. You know, we never did leave the boat, you know. Praise God. You know, but you know, how did you get to the land? It wasn't anything they did. It was just purely the sovereignty of God. Someone says, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Sure, the sovereignty of God will keep you. If that's where your faith is, stay in the boat. Don't get out. But I tell you, I'm challenging some of you to come out of the boat. Walk on water. Come on. Come and meet Jesus. You see, He'll take care of you. I know you won't sink sooner or later, but you don't know why it is you got to the land. It's fun to work with Jesus, to be a co-worker, to walk on the water. People come and they say, oh, you know, my marriage is falling apart. I could save that. There are things you can say. You can tell what people want you to say. You could save it or let them get a divorce. You know, they want you to say that. You know, you can play with people. But I like to tell them the truth. Look, it's your sin. They don't want to hear that. That's not why they came. They don't want to hear that. Here's what you need to do. They don't want to hear that. That's too hard. But I'd rather tell the truth than to play with people, because I've found that doesn't work anyway. All you've got, you don't have anything in the end. Better to have a little bit with the Lord than a lot in unrighteousness. I'll tell you, it's better. And therefore, that's what we're committed to, is walking on water with Jesus. Go out there, meet the living God. It's not to walk on water so you can write a book. It's not to sink so you can say, I have a Savior that always rescues me. It's to get to know the living God, whether you're walking on water or sinking or just falling in love with Him and not even paying attention to whether you're on water or underwater. I'll tell you, Jesus is saying, come. And when the disciples said, of a truth, now we know thou art the Son of God, it's that knowing that He's the Son of God that's the real issue, not whether you're walking or sinking. The real issue is, do you know by experience? Not by sitting in the boat and watching, but do you know by experience that Jesus Christ is the living God? Now, no character was wrought in the disciples in that experience. They did not lose their fear, for example. They still had fear. Nothing changed in their lives. All they did was change their theology in their head. They truly made an adjustment. Oh yeah, people can actually walk on water. And if they sink, Jesus will actually save them. But Peter experienced a total life change. His total character was changed in that episode. I mean, he was on the line. Do you see that? I mean, he wasn't just thinking about this in the boat, making notes. Peter was actually out there walking and then sinking and then meeting the Lord. He was out there and walking back. Peter was in the action. He knew that he knew that he knew. Now, that's a lot different. That's a lot different. That's where the real action in the kingdom of God is. Because a character change took place in Peter. He no longer was afraid of storms. Peter did not fear the storm. He knew that Jesus was there. And even if the thought is, if I could walk on water, then the storm won't bother me. But what if you sink? Peter found that out too. Even if I sink, I can still meet Jesus. You see, he learned by experience. That's a lot different than learning by hearing a testimony of someone else. What's your testimony? Are you able to say, truly, He is the Son of God? Truly thou art. Now we know thou art the Son of God. I tell you, that's what God wants every person in this church to know. So it's a challenge today. It's an encouragement also that if you've stepped out and you find yourself in the midst of storms, stresses, everything underneath you is slipping away, there's no security, fear covers you, turmoil surrounds you, chaos is everywhere, nothing is ordered, you don't know how to get a hold of it. If that's your situation, rejoice. If that's your situation, the Bible says, count it all joy when you face various trials and temptations. If that's your situation, hear the words of Jesus, which says, in the world, you have trouble. You have a sinking situation. You have storms all about you. But be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. It says that a wise man is he that heareth the words of God, of Jesus, and doeth them. Because that's the one that when the winds come and the storms come, as they will, that person shall stand. That which they have accomplished will stand. Don't be afraid of the storm. Don't be afraid of the storm. Don't be afraid of the storm. Find Jesus in the midst of that storm. Go to Him. Step out on the water. Sink. Reach out. Get up again. Walk again. This is how we conquer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm encouraging you, don't worry about being saved, healed, keeping your theology. Don't worry about all that. There's nothing wrong with your theology, I'm sure. But just don't worry about it. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Just let go. Relax. Have a good time. I imagine, you know, Peter could, the next time he could have just jumped out of the boat, you know, quite easily and just scampered across the water. When the storm is at its fiercest, there's nothing to fear. You know, I've been in that situation lots of times, financially, emotionally, church-wise, family-wise, all those things just come at you from all forms. You know, the ground under is shaky, the ground above is, you know, threatening. And in the midst of that, you know the Word of God because it comes to you. He does speak to us in those situations and says, don't be afraid, it's I, be of good cheer. But we tend not to. We tend to say, wait a minute, give me an hour or so, you know, and just wait till I ride this thing out, and I believe then I'll be of good cheer and I won't be afraid again. Wait till I get to church, you know. Wait till I hear another message or something. Wait till I hear some testimony somewhere or something. I hope something will happen. I hope the storm will cease or someone will come and help me because I don't think I can do it right now. You know, have you ever been in that situation? I have. I've been there a lot of times. I'm there frequently. I know what it's like to be there. And you know, you don't feel like trusting and jumping out and saying hallelujah. And you can hear the little voice saying, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Okay. You know, but you don't want to. And you have to then, by faith, just step out and say, no, this thing is solid. This is solid ground. Hey, there's a rock there, and there's a rock there. Ooh, it looks wet, but it's dry. And you just walk out through dry ground. Isn't that the story of the Bible? Lions' dens, rivers, fires, whatever it is. Literally, those are not stories. It's unfortunate that we sometimes say story, because then you get the idea they're made up. They are real, literal things that still go on today, that God can save us from real fires and real rivers and real troubles and real problems, not just spiritual ones or something, some kind of mystical things. We're talking about a living God who wants to show to His people things that are extraordinary. He has such great things yet to do in this world. There is a storm so great, the world is going to be shaken from its foundations. You see, when God created the world in the beginning, how did He create it? He established it upon the floods. He didn't establish it on solid ground. You understand that? He spoke and said, you know, let there be. And you see, it's the Word of God that is our foundation, not land, not security of a boat. It's the Word of God that brings foundation. It said in the beginning that there was chaos and darkness and the earth was without form and void. And God spoke and said, let there be. And at that point then, you can picture that we can walk right out on the firm, on something that's solid, because it's the Word of God. God called it all forth. And in a moment when God stops speaking, it all goes back to chaos. It all goes back. The minute you forget God, it goes back to darkness, chaos, and trouble. You may have an appearance of safety, but it's only an appearance. It's an illusion. The storms will not cease. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand right now. I want you to close your eyes. We're going to pray. I want you to repeat after me. Father God, I thank You that You come to us to reveal Yourself through Your Son, Jesus Christ, the living God who still walks on water to us, who still meets us in the storms of life, who gives us something solid when everything around us looks not peaceful. Thank You, Lord, for calling us, for reaching out and saving us, for walking with us, for never leaving us, not forsaking us, upholding us with Your own right hand. All glory to God. We thank You, Lord, that no storm, no wind, no flood can threaten us or frighten us. We are not afraid in the midst of the storm. But we are of good cheer. By faith, we shall walk without fear. And we shall know You and make You known. Truly thou art as the one who died for us, who was buried and who rose again. This is your day to step out, to leave the security of what you've had behind you, and to step out and say, Lord, I only want to know you. I don't care if I accomplish something walking on water. I don't care if I appear big. I don't care any longer because I know I need a Savior. I know that everything around me is sinking sand and thou alone art a solid rock. If there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you came today saying, you know, I know that I'm not really born again and I find something missing inside of me. I find a void. I find I'm restless and troubles and there's storms in my life. I need a Savior. I've done a lot of things. I've secured myself perhaps, but I know it's not real. I know I need a Savior. I want you to come forward. Let's have every eye right now closed, every head bowed. I want the men to come forward, women to come forward, whoever. Right now. If you need salvation, if you're ready to say, Pastor Jim, I'm the one you're talking about. I'm the one that has been in that boat. I want to get out. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've been going to church for years, but I've never actually totally made Jesus Christ the Savior of my life. I've even gone forward a few times, but I believe that I need salvation. If I died today, I would just sink without anyone to grab me.